Wherever I can add change and be impactful in our profession, I want to do that to help build a legacy that allows people to see what is the greatness of being in the accounting profession and that there's a seat at the table for you.
All right. Welcome back, gang. Episode number 201 of Future Proof. As always, thanks for joining us. Bill Sheridan here. Ready to roll? I'm ready to roll. Let's do it. Another good show for you this week. But first, a reminder, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers. And we actually like to think of these folks as partners. These are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession, including this podcast. But these partners, they do way more than that, right? They're doing things that we believe can help you all become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And help really is the key word here. They truly do want to help. So please reach out and find out more about what they can do and how they can help you. You'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website. That's macpa.org/showcase. So on to this week's show. It's not often that you get a new leader at the exact time that you need a new leader, right? A perfect kind of inflection point for your organization or your profession. When things are changing so radically and so quickly that only a fresh perspective, right? A new pair of eyes will do. And yet that's exactly what the CPA profession has, right? A new leader for new times. A few weeks ago, we introduced you to Christine Aspel, the new chair of the MACPA's board of directors. This week, we take a closer look at the national level with our guest, Corey Ramsey, who just happens to be the new chair of the American Institute of CPAs and their board of directors. I caught up with Corey over the summer, just shortly after he was elected AICPA chair, in fact. And man, I got to tell you, so gracious with his time, so patient with me and all of my silly questions, especially given the importance of the issues that we talked about that day. Corey, he's a CPA, of course, and a CGMA. He's vice president of Sarbanes-Oxley for Kaiser Foundation Health Plan and for Kaiser Foundation Hospitals. Graciously says he plans to continue to build upon the platform of his predecessor, Maryland's own Anoop Mehta, by the way, who ended his term as AICPA chair over the summer. And Anoop was focused on helping others grow personally and professionally, driving diversity, equity, and inclusion, and preserving trust in the profession. So all of those things are things that Corey Ramsey still wants to pursue. And yet at the same time, Ramsey is taking on this role at a moment when our profession is facing a number of key challenges, including the rapid advancement of artificial intelligence and other new technologies, and our continuing challenge of filling our talent pipeline and making sure that our profession remains viable going forward. And with all of that in mind, Ramsey comes to this role with kind of a three-pronged agenda, right? Three key issues that are top of mind for him and for the AICPA this year. Those issues are as follows. Number one, innovation to advance the profession. According to the AICPA, Ramsey hopes to capitalize on the advancements made by the profession over the past few years by embracing and leveraging technology to streamline processes, increase efficiency, and drive greater value. He also urges the profession to evolve through lifelong learning, business model transformation, and the CPA exam itself. Here's a quote. He says, "Through CPA evolution, we are on track for the 2024 launch of the new CPA exam. There will be an increased focus on data and technology concepts in all exam sections," end quote. Number two on Corey Ramsey's agenda, instilling integrity and trust into sustainability. Now, Ramsey believes environmental, social, and governance issues are, that's an area where a professional accountant can drive meaningful change. He will encourage the AICPA and the association to work with stakeholders to integrate responsible and sustainable practices into their businesses and operating models. He says, quote, "Our profession is more prepared than any other to drive strategic conversations on sustainability opportunities and risks He also says, I believe this is a space where we can move and we can move rather from having a seat at the table to being at the head of the table, end quote. And finally, number three on his agenda, supporting the next generation and giving them enhanced opportunities to succeed. Ramsey supports working together with other professional organizations, state CPA societies, colleges, high schools, as well as firms and employers to create a more inclusive accounting and finance profession. He cites collaboration as a key to improving diversity within the profession and getting students interested in the accounting field. Ramsey noted that while progress has been made, there's much to do, still much to do. The profession needs you, he says, and we need our young professionals to see you to understand the art of the possible, end quote. And really, with everything that's happening throughout the profession, those three priorities, they're more important than ever, right? And certainly enough there to keep Ramsey and the rest of the profession busy for a good long while. I was fortunate enough to sit down with Corey Ramsey over the summer and talk about those priorities in greater depth, as well as the challenges that our profession faces these days, the opportunities that exist, and what the future holds for CPAs and accounting and finance professionals in general. A little context, this was a conversation that took place in June 2023 in Las Vegas. That was during the AICPA's annual Engage conference. Good stuff here, timely stuff, important stuff, I think, for all CPAs to be paying attention to these days. Here is my conversation with AICPA Chair Corey Ramsey.
Tell me a little bit about, first of all, where's home for you?
So home for me is actually Arinda, California. And okay. So I was born and raised in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
Went to Berkeley schools growing up, graduate of Berkeley High School. Went to San Francisco State University as my college, and I was in accounting. So I actually did a business administration with concentration in accounting, and then started my career in public accounting from there.
Nice. Why accounting for you? What drew you to the profession?
Well, so here's the really cool thing. So my dad, when I was in high school, he started connecting me with people in different professions. Mm-hmm. So he introduced me to someone who was a physician, someone who was like a dentist, and someone who was in accounting. And so the person in accounting was, her name is Gwen Skillern. So she's actually, now she lives in Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but she's a former executive with Care First. And so she was at the time in, I want to say, she had her own public accounting firm, mm-hmm. and she was a former manager or even maybe a director with Deloitte Haskin in sales. And so she had an accounting background, and I met her and we just connected. And eventually I decided that based on the relationship that I had built with her, knowledge of what accounting was, I took accounting classes actually in high school, mm-hmm. which is something that I feel is not something that you see routinely today. They're in pockets. Right, but not as much as maybe it was, you know, before. But I knew between the accounting classes that I took at my high school as well as the relationship I'd built with Gwen that I was going to major in accounting when I went to college. Mm-hmm. And literally I kept that path. So never swayed.
And what kept you in it? I mean, what's the passion for you behind I guess what's the why for you behind you and the work you do in this profession?
Well, you know, I feel like I've done a lot of different things. So if I could, you know, take you back a little bit. So I started public accounting with Coopers & Lybrand, mm-hmm. which is a predecessor of PricewaterhouseCoopers. Mm-hmm. I spent 5 years with them in San Francisco and Chicago. While I was in Chicago, they were merging with Pricewaterhouse. I actually moved to Anderson, and okay. I worked at Anderson for another 5 years between Chicago and then San Francisco. In Chicago, it was headquarters for the world. Uh-huh. So that was actually super cool to be at, you know, in a firm in a place where you were seeing everything happen first. Right. And so then from there, going back in the Bay Area, because Bay Area was home for us. So my wife, at the time, my fiance, we moved back to the Bay Area, and I was able to transfer from Anderson in Chicago to Anderson, San Francisco. And then I decided at some point that I don't think that I necessarily wanted to, you know, stay in public accounting. Now, there were a couple of reasons for that. One was partially the work. It was just like, I'm doing fine, but I'm not really really super interested in continuing to do auditing. But I also would say that a big factor was I didn't see anyone who looked like me in leadership. Mm-hmm. Like I was a manager at the time, and there were no Black partners in the firm, and even in Coopers & Lybrand, I hadn't seen it there either. So part of it was that I didn't know that could I do it, right? And would there be an opportunity for me to do that? So I went into industry and worked for Robert Half International for 2 years. I was actually a senior manager. And this was in, like I had a financial, so I had internal controls, I had operational accounting that were all part of the suite of work that I did. So this is actually pre-SOX. Mm-hmm. But ultimately with Anderson imploding in their risk consulting business coming over to Robert Half as Protiviti, I was helping to give them the look and feel they had at Anderson in the Robert Half environment.
I gotcha.
So again, kind of a difference, in terms of the type of work I was doing. Mm-hmm. But Robert Half for me was somewhat of from an accounting perspective, somewhat flat. Like you could be in the organization for 20 years and not be moving up in the ranks. You could, but there were many people who stayed in their spaces. So I wanted to do something where I wasn't stuck. And so I actually went back into public accounting, and because I had relationships with, people at EY, Deloitte, and some of the other firms, I went back in, but I went on the risk side of the house. So I got out of audit, went into risk, and it was now where I was focusing on internal controls, risk management, and now SOX was a real thing. Mm-hmm. So I was doing that kind of work, but I was doing it for clients. And so again, at the time that I was in EY, I was the highest ranking African-American in the Pacific Northwest region, which was about probably 7 or 8 different offices in the region. And I had about 30 younger professionals who were looking at, what is this guy going to do? Is he going to stay a partner? Is he going to go into industry? And I felt a huge weight on my shoulder because I felt a sense of responsibility, mm-hmm. To the young people who were coming behind me. And what I learned is that when I decided that, okay, I'm not loving this anymore, but I still want to be impactful, that I went to Kaiser Permanente and I did see individuals who looked like me in leadership roles beyond where I was, all the way up to at the time the regional president of the region that I was in, someone who was our COO. His name is Bernard Tyson. He's unfortunately passed, but he eventually became our CEO.
Okay.
Right. And so I saw leaders who I could, emulate, who had a vision and that were passionate about what they were doing. And I thought that, okay, this feels right. Right. So that environment I've been now in for 15 years. But what I was able to do is that those individuals who were in still public accounting, I could talk to the firms because now my relationship is different. Right. So partners who, they give me the time of day, but now they want my time, mm-hmm. because now I'm a client.
Right.
And I'm a procurer of services. Right. So they want to meet with me to talk about what they can do to help me with different projects. And what I could say is that, well, if you want to do work, you need to be a reflection of the communities and the people that we serve at Kaiser Permanente. And that comes in all shades. And so you have to bring that talent to the table, and that got a different action, mm-hmm. right? And so some of those young people went on to become, I have a mentee that's now a managing, or he's actually a former managing partner of EY in their San Jose office. I have several mentees who've now gone on to be partners in different firms. And it feels good to know that while I did not stay in a firm to go into that space, that I could be impacting future partners and to now have them have that line of sight that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that part of my why is that I want, and I my legacy is to live a life that matters. Mm-hmm. Right. So ultimately, wherever I can add change and be impactful in our profession, I want to do that to help build a legacy that allows people to see what is the greatness of being in the accounting profession, and that there's a seat at the table for you.
Are you seeing progress in the profession in that area? I mean,
I feel like we are. Mm-hmm. And it's so while I would say that progress has been slow, mm-hmm. and I think that you're seeing more partners of color than you have, I would say, historically. There definitely needs to be more, but I think that there is much more progress than we've had historically. When I think about the ICPA, even as an institution, right? When I think of our volunteers, we have the most diverse volunteer leadership that I think we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Right. So just kind of give you the numbers. You've got me as chair. You have Sarah Ghosh, who is the co-chair of the association, and she's out of the UK. You have Anoop Mehta as our, you know, immediate past chair. You have Melanie Kakana, who is our immediate past SEMA president. And then you have Simon Biddlestone, who is our, you know, would be an incoming vice president for SEMA. So when you think about that, and then Carla McCall, who's actually following me as chair, mm-hmm. so vice mm-hmm. chair, that mix of diversity, I don't think you've ever seen that before.
Yeah.
Right. And so I feel like while there's still work to be done and we can't like take our foot off the gas, we've made a tremendous amount of progress and we have to just continue that focus.
Well, you kind of combine that with, I mean, what we saw on the stage this morning when they were introducing yes. the outstanding young CPAs.
Exactly.
And I mean, just the optics of the photo that was taken up there. I mean, and you're talking about the future of the profession.
Exactly.
And to have a diverse set of young CPAs who are being recognized for the work that they're doing kind of speaks to where all this is going. And it seems very intentional that we, you know, this is where we want to be and who we want to be. And right. we're going to get there one way or the other.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I find that the more that we continue to see that, in that you said a key word for me, intentional, mm-hmm. right? So, cause it's not about quotas. It's about being intentional, about wanting to see our profession be a reflection of the society.
Yep.
And we've got you to, you know, really stay the course and stay focused on that. And we believe that we're continuing to see that. But when we showcase that, I think that says a lot, right? Because, I mean, just as you said, you see it on stage. There is, I mean, now let's say that gets posted on LinkedIn. That says to those young people who are coming behind that, maybe I could be that person, mm-hmm. right? Because like, I didn't see a lot of that when I was coming up. But now maybe some others who will see me will say, maybe I can be that person. You know, I can understand their path, and maybe that's something I want to pursue. So we got it both by the execution of the work, but then also by creating this visible change that as long as we again tell our stories, I think that people will see that, wow, there's some things happening here that we can really continue to grow from.
Yeah, it's very cool. Your agenda for the next year and you know, just seeing other chairs come and go, obviously it's very fluid based on whatever's going to be happening over the year, but you've outlined an agenda that kind of focuses on three different areas.
Yes.
Let's talk about each one just real briefly and what you are hoping to accomplish. I mean, innovation. For
innovation.
Instance? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Why is that high on your list?
Well, so innovation is high on my list because I feel like you either evolve or you die, mm-hmm. right? So we have to be innovative in terms of the work that we do as a profession, and whether you're in business industry or whether you're in client service, that looking at the way that we do our work and making it interesting for not only ourselves but also those coming behind. We have to leverage technology to really try it to do the work differently. I believe sometimes from a pipeline perspective that the younger folks don't want to do things the way that we have historically have done them. Mm. Right. The thing of, you know, coming in, doing long hours and, you know, quote, paying your dues, right? That all those things that they don't necessarily want to do that, and they have the right to choose not to do that. And if they're choosing not to do that, they're choosing to go into other professions. So how do we evolve the way that we do the work, making it more interesting, but also focusing on the things that are at the highest value, right? So clients want to understand, and I believe people in industry also want to understand that how do we make really smart business decisions based on the data that comes through the, you know, the accountings, you mm-hmm. know, space, mm-hmm. right? I always say that the, you know, all roads lead to the GL, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, no matter what your transactions are, they're going to flow into those numbers and go into the GL. And what story does that tell?
Right.
So how do we tell that story in numbers?
Yeah.
Right. So, but that's again, a huge priority, but you're also seeing that in terms of the CPA exam. Mm-hmm. So we're evolving the CPA exam so that we're going to have a greater focus on technology through all parts of the exam starting in 2024. So those are some of the priorities in terms of the, you know, innovation, changing the way that we do our work, looking at the types of services that provide, being more transformative. Those are all elements of that space.
Yeah. And then sustainability, another one of your priorities for the year. Tell me a little bit about why you chose to focus on that. I mean, it's obviously huge on everybody's radar screen at this point, but why that for you?
Well, so for me, that ESG, you know, as I think about it, that's a space where a number of players are currently involved in ESG, mm-hmm. right? Whether you are doing a test services or providing companies with the roadmap of how to implement, you know, ESG in their organizations. Rather than having, you know, these boutiques or individuals who may not have the depth of skill that we have to do that, I would want us to not only have a seat at the table, but be at the head of the table. Mm-hmm. And so the way that we do that is working both with clients, working inside of organizations to determine how do we make sure that we have the right integrity, the right documentation evidence to support information that's going to be in an ESG report or sustainability report. I feel like the governance piece, that's actually pretty solid because mm-hmm. governance has been around for a long time. Many companies have audit in, you know, finance committees, you know, or compensation committees and the like. So, I mean, governance, I think, is pretty strong, but there's still more work that you could do there. But the environmental and the social space, I think those are largely untapped. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to either get it right or get it wrong, mm-hmm. right? And so if we can, because we have that great history in terms of financial reporting and looking at pronouncements and making sure that data is accurate in that space, well, why not lend that into the space with the ESG? And so I feel like that's the space that we can own. We can take a larger market share of helping clients and helping organizations do that work, whether you're on the test side or whether you are, you know, internal. So I feel like it's just a space that we are, you know, well positioned to drive. And so why not take our rightful place?
Yeah. Are you as you're talking to folks throughout the profession, are you, what kind of response are you getting from them in terms of ESG? Because it seems, I don't know, it's not where we've traditionally gone as a profession, right? This is something right. new in terms of reporting and are you getting folks who are seeing it as an opportunity or pushing mm-hmm. back and saying, you know, why are we doing something different? What kind of reaction are you getting?
Well, you know, so I would say that I believe ESG internationally, you're seeing it more, just like I was thinking of going back in a long time ago with IFRS, mm-hmm. and you know how that played internationally, but right. in the US, you never really saw it. I do believe ESG is going to be a little bit different. Because I do see organizations having sustainability reports, and we, even in my organization, we're working on developing a sustainability report or ESG report. And so I think that it's getting more traction. I don't think it's as fast in the US as it is more internationally, but I believe that you're going to see much more movement as people get more comfortable.
Is that a political thing in the U.S. more than outside of the U.S.?
Politics
play into that a little bit?
I would say that I am not certain. I can see where it can mm-hmm. Because on the social side, right? So how do you make sure that you are, what are you measuring?
Right.
And how do you ultimately attest to the accuracy of that information? That is a challenge. Yeah. What do you want to capture? And could politics play a role in that? In terms of what you're writing, possibly. But my hope would be that, you know, making sure that we have accurate and transparent data would be agnostic to anything right. political. It would be my hope.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's the way I'm kind of looking at it, is that it's a space where someone's going to do it.
Right.
So if someone's going to do it, why not us with the skill set that we have? And so take advantage of that opportunity, but not because it's just an opportunity, but it's because we have the skill set to do it and do it well. And to build that trust mm-hmm. that the public, you know, has the confidence in CPAs to do. So build that in that space as well. And I think that it will help communities, but it also, you know, provide that reliability that should exist in our space.
Next generation is on your agenda as well, and that's a pretty broad statement. So where do you want to narrow that focus and go forward over the next year?
Thank you for that. When I think about the future of our profession, that providing our future generation of finance and accounting folks with the opportunities that are available within the profession, providing greater insight in terms of what you can do as a business entry professional, as a public accountant person, as someone who is looking maybe to serve in the CFO type of capacity. There's so many different opportunities that are available to you in this profession. So helping to create greater visibility to that is partially what I want to do, right? So when I go to a state society, because I do a lot of state society visits, I'll talk to the CFOs and the controllers about challenges that are happening in their space and what are the trends that we're seeing in those spaces. I'll separately go and I'll do a professional issues update where maybe I'll talk about things like CAS services that mm-hmm. we're providing, what we have in terms of CPA.com and those types in those areas, looking at what are we doing in terms of advocacy. They're working on things that are more state level. We're looking at more federal and international, right? So, but bringing those types of concepts to the table and to share those insights, listening to what are the concerns of the boards that I'm meeting with, but also talking with students, mm-hmm. whether they are college students or even high school students, about how great this profession is. And maybe sometimes getting rid of some of the misconceptions about what we do. I sometimes hear when I go to high school students, they think of it as, when they say, I don't necessarily know I want to be an accountant because there's a lot of math. Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, we've got Excel, right? Okay. I'm not the best mathematician in the world, right? But I'm telling stories through numbers. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's talking about the analytical components of what we do, how you meet with people and you're a good thought partner, how you think about, working with organizations to solution about their strategic initiatives. Those are types of things that people in finance and accounting can do and do on a regular basis. So it's not the green eye shade. It's not the just doing long hours or paying your dues in public accounting. There's a whole just swath of what you can do in the profession, but we have to, again, help to tell that story. Yeah. So, doing this, podcast with you, being on LinkedIn, talking about what we're doing when we go to the state societies, being on Capitol Hill, right, in, fighting and advocating for things that are the benefit for the public, mm-hmm. but also for the profession, are all things that we're doing. But we got to tell those stories so people see this was what is available to you, yeah. and that you can be a part of this. And why wouldn't you want to be?
Right.
Yeah.
What would make this a great year for you? Like if you a year from now, you're looking back and say, wow, that was really great. What would have to happen for that?
Well, so I would say for me, it would be several things. So one would be that going to the students first, that if they felt that they had a greater connection to the profession and that I was able to help them see what is possible. Mm-hmm. That would be a huge win for me, just furthering building that relationship for the next few generation. I would also say that helping us as an association to advance the strategies that we are pursuing, our strategic initiatives, and feeling like we've made some gains in that space, that would feel good to me as well. To have our state societies say that, when Okori comes to town, people are listening, people are engaged. They really enjoyed him visiting and what he contributed. Those would be all things that I would feel would make you feel good. But also thinking about how are we, helping to build the bench when I think about who's coming forward, both from a council perspective, from a board perspective, and in just students as a whole. So it's ambitious. Mm-hmm. But those are the kind of things that I'm holding myself accountable to, in that I want state societies to hold me accountable to as well, in that I want the board to hold me accountable as part of the leadership team to make sure that we're doing the right work that really does help advance the profession.
Yeah, and we're certainly on your side with awesome. That too. So whatever the state societies can do to kind of help you along those ways. I mean, your agenda is our agenda and we want to help any way we can.
Fantastic. I appreciate everything I see from Maryland. That's been awesome.
What, What does the future of the profession look like to you? That's a really broad question, I know. But
So I would say that I'm very bullish on our profession and what are opportunities. I believe that, as I was sharing with you earlier, that we've got to be the best at continuing to tell our story about where we're going. Mm-hmm. Right, and why it's a great profession to be a part of. So if we, but if we don't do that, then it's, in my view, it's a missed opportunity. Not to say that we still can do well, but we will miss an opportunity if we're not out there, you know, making sure that people understand here's what we do, why we do it, the value that is provided in the fact that we are here, mm-hmm. you know, that we're supporting. I mean, when I think about the pandemic and all the advances that we made through work that AICPA and accounts were doing to help, you know, keep that lifeline going.
Yeah.
You know, for organizations that were literally questioning if they were going to be able to pay their bills or to, you know, just sustain through these challenges, we were very impactful with that. We were impactful with the IRS in determining how do we extend the time for people to pay their taxes without penalties. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways that we really do impact the day-to-day lives of people, right? That we've got to be able to continue to showcase that. Yeah. And so I believe the more that we do that and we're able to tell those stories, it will just, you know, continue to advance who we are and what we do. So I would say that we've got to just, you know, kind of stay the course, but also continue to innovate and change, because if we don't, we die. So right. we can't just rest on what we're going to continue to do. It feels like what was working, right? How do we continue to change and evolve in the type of, again, the work that we do, how we execute on it, how we leverage technology and build. Mm-hmm. And the more that we do that, I think we're already in a solid position, but we'll strengthen our position.
Fantastic. Well, Corey, thank you for your time, your insights. I really appreciate you being here with me.
I appreciate it too, Bill. This is great. Thank you for making time for me to have this conversation with you at Engage. Really enjoyed it.
That's all I got. Anything that I missed? Anything that I should have asked that I didn't, or that you want to add?
You know, because I'm not sure if I said it or not. Well, I guess we did talk about it from the diversity, equity, inclusion perspective. I think we got it. So yeah, so I don't think I have to add anything there. But I just want to make sure that we continue to, you know, have that focus. And I think that we're doing that well at the AICPA level. But the more that we can do that in our individual state societies, no matter where we are, that's a huge, you know, plus that I believe that we got to continue to advance on. So, but again, overall, really great conversation. Yeah. Thank you for making time for this.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good stuff there from Corey Ramsey. Corey is vice president of Sarbanes-Oxley for Kaiser Foundation Health Plan and Kaiser Foundation Hospitals, as well as the new chair of the American Institute of CPAs Board of Directors. You can learn more at AICPA.org. And remember, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers, our partners in this profession. They're doing things that we believe can help you become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website. That's macpa.org. And that is it, gang. Thanks for being here once again, and have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.